Luke 1. Ah, 2. Luke 2. Luke 2. I got to get used to saying that. We just got a couple more scriptures about in verse 10 about bringing good tidings of great joy. What we're going to talk about just for a few minutes of what where it talks about Jesus' joy. So let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 25. There's two scriptures. This is the parable of the talents. We studied this a few days ago. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful."
What verse?
21. "Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And then it's repeated in verse 23, the last part of it, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Let's see if we can understand what that means. Go to Luke 10. This is that he just sent out the 70 and told them not to take anything with them, etc. And then they came back. So in verse 17, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Now let's go to John 15. Verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full," or fulfilled. So there's a joy that's available and it's waiting to be fulfilled in you. Now let's go to John 16. Verse 24. "Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." And then chapter 17. This is, chapter 17 is really the Lord's Prayer. What we call the Lord's Prayer is really the disciples' prayer in Matthew 6. But here, let's start in verse 5. "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me, out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So the joy is somehow connected, if we look at the whole scripture, the range. Joy is really connected with two things. One is your acceptance and the knowledge of your death, and the second is the total and complete abandonment of yourself to him. And that's the only reason and the only way that his joy might be fulfilled in you. Amen?
Amen. It's like, if it's not happening in us, it's not fulfilled. It's like we're part of that, you know, his body and his bride and all that is intimately connected with his joy being fulfilled.
Yeah, let's go to where is that scripture? 14, John 14. This summarizes everything that John just said. That's what Jesus said about it. And 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And so this joy is a oneness. So there's no gulf between you anymore. The great gulf between you and the Father and you and eternity is gone, and your life is hid with Christ in God under the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, and you have no more truck with the world system. But the minute you return to the world, you return to cause and effect, then you lose the joy. Amen?
Yeah. All right. And he's talking to, like, Judas says something here right after that. It's like, never did get it, I guess.
Where?
Or you didn't know.
Oh, yeah, 22. Yeah. Judas saith unto them, Not Iscariot, Lord. Not Iscariot. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Anyway, yeah. And it's interesting to note that he said he's not praying for the world. All right, back to Luke. Everybody understand a little bit better about joy? The different words in the Old Testament about leaping and dancing, all that good stuff. All right.
Not quite, but.
All right. So now we're in verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now this is what he's saying to the shepherds. And remember, these were the shepherds whose job it was to keep watch over the sacrificial flock, and it was expected that they would announce the coming of Messiah because they knew he had to be from Bethlehem, and their tower was right near Bethlehem. They were keeping watch on the flock, not like a normal shepherd does. They were keeping watch on the flock to make sure that none of them strayed past this tower, because then they were no longer eligible to be used in sacrifice. So this is a big deal. What?
What was the tower significance? I mean, what, there's a line here or something?
Yeah, it was a particular distance from Jerusalem that the Talmud or they had established at some earlier time that the sacrificial animals had to be within a certain range of the temple. And this tower was set up on the road from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, right near Bethlehem, and that was the distance upon which if a sacrificial animal strayed past that, then they weren't eligible to be sacrificed. Weren't you here when we talked about that?
I remember.
All right. We spent. All right. In the verse 11, for unto you is born. Now, for is a word that says because of or it means it's a word, it's hati. And it means because, but it's so the four is dependent on verse 10. And the angel said unto him, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. And then because of that, the fulfillment of that is unto you this day is born, etc., etc. So the four is an important word. Is born is tektu, and it means just to bear fruit from a seed. And that seed is never money, as opposed to what we hear on the television these days. But this day is a great, we're going to spend a little time on this day. This day is a word that means, it's samaron. It means what happened this very day. And so, it all starts back with Psalm 2. Let's go back there, Psalm 2. Actually, it starts, no, let's go to Genesis 3. And the Lord said unto the serpent, verse 14, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, or by thy belly shalt thou be led, and dust shall you eat all the days of thy life. And again, that's talking to the human race. That's your mind. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, the head of the serpent. Bruise is a word that means overcome. And thou shalt bruise his heel. And it means he just altered his way of walking. So that's everything that happened from this point forward in the scriptures is coming from that verse. All right, now let's go to Psalm 2. Well, this was written a jillion years ago. I don't know how many years ago. How many years ago was David?
You do the math. I don't know. 1000 BC. Thereabouts.
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. So this day in Genesis 3 that the seed of the woman overcame the serpent. This day is the day in Psalms that says, this day have I begotten thee. Now in Luke, for unto you is born, verse 11, unto you is born this day. And it's the same day, and that's what you have to see. Remember, there are only two generations, really, in the scriptures. The generation of Adam and the generation of Messiah. We've been in the generation of Messiah for 2,000 years. And we've been in the night of that last day. It's all the same day. That's what I want you to see. Okay? Now let's go to Hebrews. A whole bunch in Hebrews talks about this day, today. That's why it's so important. When Abraham saw his day, he was glad. Amen?
It's like if we could see that, we'd have a lot less problems. All of our problems come from projections and thinking.
Well, it comes from past and future.
Not seeing this day. That day is this day and one moment.
Okay, Hebrews 1.
Hebrews 1 or 2? Hebrews 1?
Yeah, Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of God, of the right hand of the Majesty on high, being so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto the which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Anyway. Now go to Hebrews 3. Wherefore the Holy Ghost saith, today, and that today is the same this day. Today, if you will hear his heart, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation.
What verse are we on?
That was verse 7. Okay. Now let's go to verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And in verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Then in Hebrews 4, verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
4:7.
Now let's go to chapter 5.
Hebrews
So all in verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee.
In this King James, it's two words, today. It's not one word.
And it's actually, it's just that one word that he said at the very beginning of just day. You know, it's like the day, this day, whatever, you know. But it's the same Greek word.
And it's the same day.
It's the same day, yeah.
That's why it's so important that you redeem the time. You must redeem the time in your minds. Otherwise, you will be deceived by everything. And we are only interested in this day, today, this day, not the day here. A little bit, understanding? All right, Hebrews 13. This is just the brief. This kind of sums it all up. In verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Understanding of that verse will cause you to be loosed from the bondage of time. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This day, he was born. It's all the same day. Anybody grok it? Gary? You're shaking your head, but you're mulling at the same time.
Well, the word day is where the confusion would come into this. We're programmed to think the day is 24 hours. Daylight time. That's what day typically means in our language. But this day is not that definition.
No, this day is only the Sabbath, the one day. Yeah. And that Sabbath day is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and it transcends the clock.
There is no, yeah. Circle. And therefore you make no reference to your past and your future is, there's no future. You're in eternity. How can there be a future? And if he doesn't meet your every need, then you've bet your life on the wrong thing. But unless you believe in the gospel according to Poor Richard's almanac, God helps those that helps himself. No, he doesn't.
Work within the structures of the mind. It has no place there. Arcanics. That's where the enemy, if your mind's the enemy of God.
But remember that there's this series of things that your mind cannot comprehend, and therefore you just see the stupidness of depending on your mind for anything. It says, by one offering you've been perfected forever. That can't, mind can't. By that. It said you own all things. Mind can't buy that. It says everything in the universe is perfect, exactly as it should be. Your mind can't buy that. That's why you must take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There's no thought that you can have that can stand against that. And every time you give thought to something that isn't that, and you've returned, you've hardened your heart, as in the provocation.
I'm just seeing the importance of hearing this in the context of the body, because what's being said is always worked out by all this stuff. You know, we get thrown up against each other, and you know, it's like that proves it. That's the thing that is sort of, you know, it works it out through all that stuff, and it becomes apparent. It's true. You know, I can't trust my mind because I have all these you know, incidents where it's failed, you know, and we, and I know where it's failed for other people. You know, so it's,
it hasn't succeeded for anyone.
Yeah.
I told Gary on Sunday that, you know, I finally accept and believe the thing about your mind is not dead, or your mind is not your friend.
Neither, nor are your emotions. Nor are your feelings.
Yeah, well, I'm not there yet.
Just work on one thing at a time.
Yeah,
it's not done.
All righty. Anybody else? Gary, you okay?
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.